Last time on Distinguished Adventurers. In the old city ruins under Yang Jing, our companions have just battled and defeated a trio of horrific bird creatures. It interrupted two investigations the group is in the middle of, examining the mysterious campsite of some trespassers and trying to reach the tunnels under the Kiln District to check out the site of a deadly explosion. While the group is victorious, it's the first time many of them have been in a battle of any kind, so everything and everyone is a bit on edge. And that is where we begin tonight. Welcome to Distinguished Adventurers. And I should say this morning. I'm just so used to saying tonight because we used to record in the evening and now we record in the mornings, which is why the thing that I am drinking and have been drinking consistently is ginger ale, because it makes me happy. Some of the folks in this lovely, lovely call are late enough in the day that it is lunchtime and can have a drink, but I'm not yet at the point in where at 10 a.m. I can do a mimosa, but I did think about it. I'm not gonna lie. Jack, what you drinking? Who you playing?
Good people of the Radiant Citadel. Jack's choice this afternoon is just God's Ale water, but more importantly, I have made my own kind of mix. So I start with the pretzel. I start with the pretzel base. I've eaten the pretzels out. I got like these pre-made like trail mix things, which, you know, are basically just craisin and raisin delivery systems effectively. But I spruce them up. I eat pretzel base. I throw some granola in there. So sometimes, depending on the nature of the granola, I'll have to like get a spoon when I eat it. There are some almonds in there, craisins, raisins, peanuts, some pepitas, I think. I forget what the English word for these are.
Oh,
but they're, like,
yeah,
sunflowers.
Pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, pumpkin seeds.
Okay. The pepita is the better word, so that's the word everyone should use.
And I threw in some semi-sweet chocolate chips because I deserve it.
Yes, you do. That sounds amazing.
And speaking of people who deserve our accolades, thank you to Balooey for being our patron we're recognizing today. We appreciate you and all of our patrons for supporting this broadcast.
Yes, thank you so much. And also thank you to Jonathan. Who you playing? What you drinking?
Hey, this is Jonathan, and I play El Torito, the Goblin Barbarian. And today, I am drinking Gatorade Zero because I have been sick the last couple of days. I am getting back on my feet. I'm feeling much better now, and this has helped. Fun fact, the dyes that are in this stuff can do interesting things to the stomach and the stuff they produce. I will go no further. Cheers.
Cheers unto that. I appreciate where you stopped there. That was amazing. Jules, who you playing? What you drinking?
I don't know if I want him to say more or less, actually. Hi, I'm Julia. I play the changeling, what are they called? Scammer.
Your words, not mine.
Yeah. No, I don't think she runs. No, she definitely 100% runs scams. Her name is Una. I am drinking Goo Goo Spicy Water, PC Optimum, Sparkling Water, Mandarin Orange, because bubbly is expensive.
Mm-hmm. It is. But having something bubbly is often nice.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Mandarin Orange just sounds good. I think I just want some oranges.
It's a good one.
And last but certainly not least, John, who you playing? What you drinking?
Hey, I'm John. I play your Arcana Cleric, Zeph. And today I am drinking an Annihilator, which is a Dutch Brothers coffee, and it is a chocolate macadamia nut brevet. So, because, you know, it is the morning, and I have a toddler that had me up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
So oh, like I'm going to enjoy that, some coffee. They?
You can hear said toddler in the background right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to mute.
Listen, the having chocolate and caffeine in the morning is a mood for anyone with a child that I can respect. Absolutely.
Yeah, there are only two parenting hacks. One is having grandparents nearby, and two is caffeine.
Which is why we moved to the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. Listen, caffeine is also just a life hack right there. I actually have two drinks next to me. I lied to everybody. The big one is the ginger ale. I do have a smaller one, and that is water additive with... It's some of that cherry water additive that has the caffeine in it, because I have found that even on a day off, I need a little bit of caffeine in the morning, but just a little bit. I have no transition. Y'all just got out of a battle. Y'all just got out of a pretty, well, I was going to say fearsome, but here's the interesting thing. Like I said in the introduction, some of you have never been in combat before, and some of you have. So I'm wondering, in this moment, as the giant bird beast that you had been fighting finally falls over with a gasp, as this cavern grows quiet and all you can hear are each other's raspy breaths and the sound of that little tiny bit of water dripping down the side of the cave wall, how are you all feeling in this moment? Have you been in a battle before? And what is your character feeling at this very moment?
El Torito, he's kind of breathing heavy, and you notice that his eyes return to his normal black-on-white form, and his hair turns to his normal black. He's breathing heavy, and he kind of straightens up. No, well, that was invigorating. And he he whooshes his hammer to kind of get the bird bluggin and guts off of it, clacks it to his back, and starts looking around. I'm a little injured, but I think I should be okay. How are all of you? You guys notice that for the first time ever since you stepped into this dungeon, he seems a little more wide-eyed and aware. Like the old juices are kind of flowing back into him.
Invigorating. Now, I know, Zeph, cover your ears. I know it's fake when you do it for your job. Do not tell me you have been doing this for real.
Oh, well, not here. And it has been quite a while.
Wait, your thing is fake?
El Torito just goes over and pats Zephalin's thigh. It's like, we will talk about this later. But yes, I have been in a scrape or two before.
And Una, as you and the rest of everybody kind of discovers this, have you been in a battle before and how are you feeling?
I've been, God damn, you do one impression and the country cannot be shaken. This is good. This is similar to me in which when I am very deeply emotional, the accent slips back in. Also, I'm like, I've been in a fight before. I mean, definitions. Definitions are deeply important here. I have been in a tight place, or perhaps what you might call, and she uses little air quotes, a scrape. I have not killed anyone before. In fact, I've managed to do a lot of shit without. I have never stolen anyone's life from them. I'll say the bird had it coming, perhaps.
I would definitely say that is fair.
No, a tight place. I'm gonna put you in a tight place. We'll talk about the definition of a tight place. Una's disturbed. She has actively been, like, I mean, if you have to think about, like, what she does, she tricks people and she avoids them. You don't burgle a house that has someone in it if you can help it, right? Like, That's not her jam. She knows how to defend herself, and she's definitely used magic on people, but I think she's one of those non-lethal attack type of person.
Makes sense. Let's move on over, actually, to Thaviapin, who I believe might be the other person in this group who hasn't gotten into a battle before. How you feeling?
I'll just say it in character. I've had to defend what's mine. I've been in childhood scrapes, but never with anything like that before. And never at the scale. And never in a way that I had to use my magic. Una, I owe you an apology. My cowardice will not get in the way of meeting my responsibility to this party ever again.
Apology accepted. The consequence will still be there. I do want to make this really just incredibly clear that was not a threat in any way, shape, or form. That was more of just a general consequence for that. But I will also add that it's sort of a punishment for me as well. Identity theft is not that enjoyable, and it is incredibly tedious.
I shall endeavor to keep us from getting to that threshold.
Zeph, as your familiar flies on back over to you, how you feeling, and have you been in any battles before?
Gizmo flies back over because, like all familiars and pets, they can sense when their owner has a little bit of unease. And this, it's been a long time since I've had to deal with my situations like this. After many years, I've been able to just keep my magic for healing and the pursuit of knowledge and not so much violence. So it's bringing back some memories.
Oh, definitely. As I said, I have not gotten into a real fight since arriving at the Radiant Citadel again. Right. Huh, I've never fought in one of the other planes. Aside from Faerun. I've never fought in the Radiant Citadel. I did not fight in my home. And I guess now I've fought in two planes. Ha! I'm multiplaner.
Cross-planar battles.
Yeah, regular,
perks up a little bit.
Regular planeswalker, you.
Oh, have you met a planeswalker? I have. He was very muscular.
Met a guy named Jace once. Sorry, Steven was watching, like, Magic the Gathering stuff, and that's just what came to my head.
Eliwick Tumblestrom suddenly wanders on through, and you don't know why.
Mm.
He called himself a planeswalker. He was actually a very good friend. He's the reason why I got back from Faerûn.
There was a planeswalker in one of the stories I do for the birthday parties, the Princex of Malvercala. The planeswalker helps the hero or heroine. Hero-X? I don't know what the word for that is, but anyway.
Probably just hero.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Protagonist. Helps the hero. Protagonist. Thavi Abadwalker himself in their moment of crisis, but I've never actually met one.
You've had this moment. You've all now had a chance to kind of calm down a little bit. What would you like to do next?
El Torito just make sure that everyone's good, give some little pats on the back, and this is not something I relish. I definitely enjoy feeling the power of my deity flow through me, but the taking of life is not something that I seek or cherish. It's definitely something that is if it's them or me and my friends, then it is them.
Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely fair. So, before the birds, if we can call those birds, that's honestly another kind of philosophical crisis that I don't really want to have right now. There were some, we were looking at this campfire, someone died here, and I think we now have our answer as to how and why and who. And if you'd like, we can do the parlor scene and someone can solve it. And then we can do the other thing we were going to do, which honestly, when after almost losing my life, I cannot remember.
El Torito just kind of like is like, oh, it is okay, Una. I believe we were here to investigate the explosion that happened underneath the Killin, that rocked the Killin district. And with one mystery down, I think we can refocus and see. Oh, did anyone else notice something strange? Like they were sniffing at us. I wonder if this thing has a roost somewhere. There might be some treasure there.
Yeah, the sniffing. That was certainly something.
You take a moment and the body, actually all three of the bodies of these beasts are lying there in this moment as you all are just like, yeah, the sniffing and everything. You all kind of look down at this now deceased, weird, naked, four-legged bird creature.
Lauren, did I recognize that they were smelling magic?
Yes, you did. And I think all of you eventually realized it.
I wasn't sure if that was an out-of-character thing that we recognized.
No, you all eventually realized that this thing in specific was keyed in on magic users, magic items, that kind of thing. You don't know why, but it was definitely doing that.
Well, my tiny little hands are very very adept, but it seems, Thavyup, and you are the one who knows how to find things when they need finding.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to try and roll an arcana, whatever that word is. It's all new to me. I'm a baby, a magician. This is Jack.
I think yeah. I have yeah. detect I, magic as a spell.
I think we should search his pockets if it has any.
Bird pockets. Oh, just nature's pocket.
Just nature's pocket.
All right, we've got a couple of options here. If you'd like to do a physical investigation, I'll take a couple of different things depending on what you're looking at. I will take an actual investigation. I will also take a survival. They'll tell you two different things. If you want to do a more arcane investigation, you can give me an arcana check, or if there are spells you'd like to cast. It's pretty clear at this moment, now that the fight has ended, that you are at least safe for the moment. So if some of you wanted to take 10 or take a little bit of time to either cast spells or to recover some, you know, bind up some wounds and everything, you do get the sense that now that that's happened, you've got some time. So tell me what you would like to do and what's your role.
Can I ask you guys something in terms of like knowing that it's like we've got what, survival, arcana, I've got detect magic
and
prepared,
investigation. Or a spell, yeah.
Do we think if there is somebody who can do a kind of check, like a survival, a like animal-y thing based check to identify if there's like a nest nearby first, and then since detect magic is like ranged, and I imagine like doing some kind of arcana might work better closer to the like actual thing, like not ranged, so has a like an area. That's thank you, an area in which it works. Gotta use the right words for the right thing. But like, so since I can detect it within 30 feet,
Do we want to try to get, if the theory is Stash will have magic things, do we want to try to get close to Stash or close to where we think a nest or Stash would be before using any kind of checks to find a magic trail to get us all the way there?
Well, yeah, like I assume that the survival check will help in that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like sort of order of operations and
survival
actions.
Check would probably need to be first because okay. We don't have a direction of where this thing came from.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking about.
If that's the case, I might use the time that check's being done to sort of, I think I get like some hit points back during a short rest. I forget exactly the mechanic of it behind it, but I might just do that thing while that's going on.
Yeah, I'm going to do both. So basically what you do is you roll your hit die and you get some that many hit points back.
Oh, we can take a short rest?
When you take a short rest, yeah.
If you'd like to take a short rest, it's an hour. And I'll say, if you do want to spend that hour, I'm not going to ask you to roll any checks that you are proficient in, because I'm assuming for that hour, basically, as long as you're not doing anything that is physically very taxing, you can take some time, heal some wounds, patch up, and then anything that you are proficient in, you don't have to roll, just tell me and I'll let you know kind of what you find out, because you'll spend 10, 20, 30 minutes, however long it takes to look around. The Distinguished Adventurers are huge fans of Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms. It's a Dungeons & Dragons strategy video game that brings together D&D characters from novels, adventures, and multiple live streams into a single grand adventure. It is so much fun to put together a formation that includes champions from our favorite D&D streams, books, and more. Every week there's something new happening in the game, and it's available on almost any platform. Need some loot to gear up your champions? We're happy to offer a free Electrum chest to all of our listeners. This week's code expires on March 24th at 8 p.m. Pacific. So open up the game, go to the shop, and type in this code. ULANNEXTPROD. So use that code and let us know on Twitter or Instagram what goodies you got. And now, enough of the loot drops. Back to the show. So yes, while you are all doing that, let's kind of go around the horn. Let's start with El Torito. What's the one thing you kind of want to focus on besides healing for this short rest?
He is focusing on the survival check to figure out where this thing came from, and he got a 14.
Okay. Are you proficient in survival?
Yes.
Okay. Then not only did you not... The 14 is great, but you don't have to roll. I'm just going to tell you. So with your survival, you kind of try to find the tracks of this creature. It's a little less about examining the body and more about following where it came from. It's difficult, mostly because this is a stony floor and you can't use the other two creatures to help because they were flying creatures and there's really not that much.
Poop. You could track their poops.
You could if you could see their poops. At the moment, you don't see poop, but you do. There's a smell that this creature is giving off. It's faint, but it's very clear. It's like, kind of like an ozone bitter smell. You're able to find that the other way to go in this cavern, you came in from essentially the east. There is another passage to the west that you know from your map is where you need to go next. The ozone smell goes down that way. And looking at the map, it kind of, there's a whole network of tunnels that branch off in that direction. You know from the map where, what you need to follow to go next to where you're going. If you wanted to try to continue to follow this smell, you could, but you're going to have to do a little bit of exploration, I'll say. Yeah, that is what you get. Thaviapin, what did you want to look at?
So I rolled hit dice, assuming at some point we get back to closer. My original thought was to sort of either use Arcana to figure out what direction to go, but if we talked about this and sort of I think the consensus decision was that as we get to the nest itself, that's when you cast the Arcana spell to figure out. So if that happens during the short rest, I mean, I think that's like we're gonna have to start walking at some point. I'll cast it at that time, and I'll do the Arcana check at that time, and then I'm proficient in it, so I shouldn't have to roll, as you said, right?
Yeah. So for this hour, you're all going to be kind of staying in this cavern. If you start to walk, it ends the short rest.
Right.
The good news is, though, you don't actually have to cast anything. You're basically using your arcane skills.
Sure.
So you get two things.
Okay.
You start to examine the body, and you know, you watch as El Torito kind of also sniffs the air as he's figuring out which way to go and kind of picks up that scent. That helps you pick up that scent. And you remember at the beginning of this battle, when the creatures came on in, like you felt them enter. It wasn't that you saw them. Your arcane senses kind of picked them up. This creature specifically, it's got now a fading because it's deceased, but it's got a very palpable magical aura. And so you can confirm that it came down the tunnel that El Torito is pointing to, but something about that makes you continue to examine the body of this creature itself. And it's almost as though you were examining someone wearing a magic item. Like you're picking up that sense from this being, but you don't see anything. It's not wearing something. It is not holding something. Is it a monster? It doesn't seem to be a sentient creature, but the sense you're picking up from it is almost as if it had like a magic cloak on or something.
Is there a part of the being's body where this feeling feels the strongest?
That I will ask for an arcana check.
Okay, fair.
That one, give me an arcana check.
Alrighty. Roly roly. Hey, not too shabby. Soft 20.
Excellent. It's a large beast. It's like the size of a horse. It's got this tiny, in comparison, vulture head, four legs, and this large body, you know, that's no feathers, no hair, no anything. It's all wrinkly. And without touching this thing, as you kind of lean forward, it's in its chest. It's very concentrated in its chest. And as you mull that over, Una, do we need to come back to you? I saw you got food delivered.
Oh, no, I'm good. I just didn't want to make you guys watch me shove food in my mouth.
No worries. All right, so Una, what would you like to be doing during this or short rest?
I mean, Una recovered most of the hit points she lost. I think she got conked on the head, right? So she's, like, staunching the bleeding and, like, checking herself for a concussion, which I don't think she knows how to do, but she thinks she does.
Yeah.
She's definitely not a doctor, but she's 100% stolen a couple of medical identities. So she's played one in the thief world. I think she's mostly going to be like, if we know that there is a trail going out and we know that, like, I assume that, Jack, you're sort of relaying what your character is finding out to us.
Yep.
I mean, so here's the thing. I think it's like we need to pick a direction to go in, and we need to go a little down that direction before she'd cast Detect Magic, right? Just so we can, because that will get us a faint aura around any visible creature or object in the area that bears magic, and I learn its school of magic, if any.
There you go. So I'll ask then, just during this short rest, without casting any spells, were there any specific, like, skills you wanted to use to pick up anything, or you just focused on getting some healing done, which is totally fair.
I mean, I guess she might like perception just to kind of like, as she is coming down from the, like, I mean, it's an hour from the adrenaline. I think she'd want to be sort of checking out her surroundings. And since a lot of what we were doing got cut short by the battle, I think that would be the most useful.
Excellent. Are you proficient in perception?
Am I proficient in perception? Who's to say? It's colored in with a black dot on my...
So next to perception, is there a little... Is that dot colored in?
It is colored in.
You are proficient.
Okay.
And you probably also have some that have a little ring around it, which means you have expertise.
I do. So. I have expertise in persuasion and sleight of hand and insight, I think.
Ah, very cool. So yeah, after you're done kind of... No, you don't have a concussion. You're sure. You're sure you don't have a concussion. Kind of patch up what you can, and you take a look around the room now that it's lit up with Zeph's light spell, now that you're not trying to sneak and you're a little bit more calm. The campsite that you had started to investigate before the battle happened is where the body of this person is that Zeph and Thaviapin were looking at, and a little bit of El Torito. It's now fairly clear to you, kind of putting some of these pieces together that people have been talking about and glancing about the space, that these assumptions are correct. You're pretty sure this creature, this giant bird thing, is what killed this person. And the claws match up into everything. You do see that there's places where it's obvious there were other people, but you're not sure whether they were, like, killed and dragged off or they escaped. It's a little hard to tell, but you do notice, you think at least one person did escape this place, because back the way you came, you do see what looks like half of a handprint, a little bit of a rusty, bloody handprint on the side of the wall. Kind of in the same way somebody stumbling and or being cautious down the cavern would have put their hand out.
Okay.
So you do think at least one person of whoever was in this group has survived, but you don't quite know about the other two.
Okay. So as the hour ends, since we have to be like seated to short rest, she's going to dust her hands off, pop up, and she's going to grow a really lovely mustache. And she is going to say, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is a case that has tried the little gray cells, has tested my resolve, but I believe I know who killed this person."
I didn't know that Poirot was someone that you could find on the Radiant Citadel, but now they are. I love it.
I don't know if I'm going to try everybody's ears with really bad Belgian accent. So we're going to stop there, and she's going to say, well, no, actually, hold on. Attacked in the dark, abandoned by his companions, I think if we, when we exit this place, we look for a person with a bloody hand, and we will know the truth of the matter. And whether or not this was an accident, or if they were left to die. End parlor scene.
and scene. And Zeph, what are you doing as you're getting this information from your compatriots? What are you taking a look at during this hour?
I just want to say that everything that she noticed and concluded did get conveyed to everybody in said horrible Belgian accent. Mustaches go away when it's all done.
What you don't know is it's actually a perfect accent, because Belgian doesn't exist. And so whatever accent you are doing right now, it's a perfect imitation.
Thank you, Luna. That was needed to get me back here. I'm going to take a look at this creature as I'm resting up and see what it is and where it came from and where it originated. So Zeph wants to, like, kind of determine what this creature actually is. Is it, like, extraplanar? Is it native? They're all in on, like, is this a danger? Like, that I need to be, like, warning the upper city about, like, stuff like that. Because that's their whole jam.
Makes sense. Is there a specific skill?
Given that it was so focused on our magic and stuff like that, and seeing that it didn't look like a natural type of creature, the way I think it was described, I'm guessing it would probably be something like an arcana or a history, like going through my like courses of study and stuff like that, which I'm proficient in both.
Okay. So here's what I'll give you, kind of tying the two together. A examination of this creature, now that you can do that without the franticness of being in the middle of battle, you do not recognize what this thing is. It's got elements of a vulture, of, you know, birds of prey, of some kind of four-legged thing, but nothing you have ever encountered. And when you think through some of your books, nothing you can think of. This is an esoteric enough being, creature, monstrosity that you really are unsure. As you get a little bit closer and start to examine the body up close, kind of hearing what everybody has been saying, you take a moment and look at the head and then look at the actual, like, chest. The skin of this thing, it's leathery. Like, it's got the wrinkles of folded over skin, but it's leathery and tough. And when Thaviapin talks about feeling this magical residue in the chest, when you put your hand on it, you immediately feel something hard. like if you pressed on a bed and when you pressed down on it, there was something stuck in the folds of the bed. And you kind of pat in a couple of other places around the chest of this thing, and you feel other protrusions. Like, over here, it's like a sharp pointed thing. Over here, it's just kind of something flat. There are things inside this creature.
In a Bugs Bunny cartoon style, El Torito zips. He stops so fast that he like, and he holds up his one of his hand axes and says, do we operate, Doctor?
Yes.
Do we?
And thank you for recognizing
Do you want me to check first to see if they're magic?
El Torito has has his axe above his head, his eyes are wide, and he's like, oh, yes, of course, yes.
But I haven't finished my dissertation, so I'm not quite a doctor yet.
But to your defense, as in we'll attend your defense.
Thank you. I was going to kill anyone who tried to get you during this defense. But,
we can do that too.
Please don't kill my academic colleagues.
Right. No, I'm sorry. I will.
Just stick to killing people in the ring.
We can review the peers.
Come who back,
prefer to review you.
Peer review never said it. Think of it as pre-op, like radiology. God, I know nothing about medicine.
It sounded, Una, like you were thinking about casting Detect Magic. Is that correct?
I was thinking if they think it would be a good idea to, because you know how, y'all know how like pelicans be eating things?
And they do be eating things.
Okay, but
they
like.
They do be eating things.
But you know what
That's
I mean?
That's the name of the episode. Do be eating things.
They be eating things. But like, okay, so like you, and it's a problem because it's indicative of the pollution in our oceans. All that aside, pelicans, sometimes they will find that pelicans have eaten things that are just trash, and it would be a shame to get covered in innards for trash or, you know, some armor that is like nothing or like a hand or digested whatever, because like, you know, if you imagine if this thing like eats a person, bones and all, that's pokey. That's just those are my thoughts about that. It happened to bears in national parks for a really long time until the Park Service instituted massive changes in the 1970s. But all that is to say, maybe we do a little Detect Magic-esque. It is basically an X-ray. The spell can penetrate most barriers, but it's blocked by 1 foot of stone, 1 inch of common metal, a thin sheet of lead, or 3 feet of wood or dirt. That is an X-ray.
Yeah. For magical items, absolutely.
It's a magical X-ray.
And it doesn't say flesh in that description, so flesh isn't going to block it.
No,
flesh
it's not.
So, Una, do you want to take 10 minutes to ritually cast Detect Magic, or would you like to just spend the spell slot and do it right away? Because I just looked this up just to make sure you can do both.
Why don't, if we're here and we got the time.
I'm fine with taking 10.
Thanks for listening to our adventure. If you've enjoyed our show, then visit us at distinguishedadventurers.com. There you can find links to our podcast and social media, pictures and bios of our cast, info on our Patreon, and much more. Thanks again, and we'll see you next encounter. We appreciate all of our Patreon patrons, and extend a special thanks to our top-tier patrons. Thank you Megan, Jesse Florence, Forrest, a.k.a. StabbyQuest, Nate Zakari, Rebecca, a.k.a. Bunny Monster, Sir Narvi and Sailor Tweak, John Oddy, Linnea Boyev, and Hunted Shadows, LLC.